الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. قال الله تعالى: وإياي فارهبون. وقال تعالى: إن بطش ربك لشديد. وقال تعالى: وكذلك أخذ ربك إذا أخذ القرى وهي ظالمة إن أخذه أليم شديد. إن في ذلك لآية لمن خاف عذاب الآخرة، ذلك يوم مجموع له الناس وذلك يوم مشهود، وما نؤخره إلا لأجل معدود. وعن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: يؤتى بجهنم يومئذ لها 70,000 زمام، مع كل زمام 70,000 ملك يجرونها. This chapter is about the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the last session we talked in detail about the importance of having both fear and hope. As it is said, الإيمان بين الخوف والرجاء. Iman is between the fear and hope. And we talked in detail about how can we have fear and hope both at the same time, and the importance of having both of them, and the danger of having just one of the two. And I also mentioned in detail that having just one of the two can cause a big destruction and really can take the person out of Iman if one of the two will get very strong and the other one does not exist. After all of that, and keeping all of that in mind, now I would be talking about the ahadith that are in the chapter of fear by Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayh. The ahadith that he has collected that will create the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in people's mind. And by remembering these ahadith, they can create this quality of fear in them. And then there is a chapter after this which is about the hope, and those are the ahadith in that chapter that will create the hope in person's mind, because we have to have both of them, and therefore we have to go through both type of ahadith so that we can create the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our mind, and we can create the hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the same time in our mind. Before going into the hadith, I must refresh your memory very quickly about the importance of having both of them. As I mentioned last week, that a person who is very sick, extremely sick, and that person is asked by the doctors to go for a blood test, and or he's asked to go for some x-rays, some other types of tests. If this person does not have any hope of being cured from this disease, he will say, what's the sense of wasting all of my time? I will never get cured. There is no way for me to get better. I know that I would just die with this disease. That person will feel that going for the test, having the blood test and all the other tests done, using the medicine is wastage of time, wastage of money, and no need and no reason for using any of these things. Because there is no hope at all. On the other hand, if there is a person who's sick, and this person does not have any fear of this disease, he thinks that this is very minor, and in a few days I will get better anyway. There is no fear at all that it can get worse, it can cause him to some destruction, it can create some major problems for him in the future. So this person will feel that seeing a doctor is a wastage of time. I will get better anyway in a few days. Why should I go to a doctor and waste my time there? So just fear and just hope. Both of them will cause the person to destruction. And not having one of them, missing one of these two qualities in our day-to-day life is also very dangerous. So at the same time, when it comes to our relationship with our deen and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if the person will feel that there is no fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna wallahu ghafurur rahim, as many times we just recite these ayahs out of context. And we say Allah ghafurur rahim, Allah is forgiving, rahmanur rahim. So it's only hope and there is no fear. This person is going to the club and you ask him, how come you are doing that type of sin? And he says, Allah ghafurur rahim. You see a person drinking alcohol, eating haram, doing all type of haram things. You ask him, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Aren't you afraid you will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment? And he says, Allah ghafurur rahim. So this is causing this, just hope is causing him the destruction. And because of just hope, he's going in the wrong direction. On the other hand, if there is a person who has committed some major sins and he feels that Allah will never forgive me, he has only fear. Allah will never forgive me. There is no way that I can get the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and go to Jannah. So this person will feel that why should I do the good deeds? He's about to start the salah and shaitan tells him that you're going to hellfire anyway. So no reason of performing these ibadahs because you're going to hellfire anyway. So there is no hope. So they said both of these qualities are very important to have and important to have both of them at the same time. A person who had some cough and he went to the doctor. The doctor, when he was doing the checkup on him, this person realized that the doctor's face is changing a little, and the doctor says now that I think you should go for some test. Go to the hospital, have some x-rays and blood tests taken. This person realizes that there might be some danger there. The way when he saw the reaction of the doctor, normally when he gets some cough, this type of cough, he goes to the doctor, gives him some medicine and that's fine, he gets okay. But this time when he saw the reaction of the doctor and now the doctor is telling him to go for the x-rays and for the test, now this thing is creating some fear into his mind. This person goes to the hospital and he's waiting in the line. What is going through this person's mind at that time? What is it that he's thinking at that time? He's hoping that, you know, I had this cough many times. I think it was just a fear of the doctor. So let me just do it because he wanted me to do it. On the other hand, there is fear also that the doctor might be right. So there are both things over there. There is fear and there is hope. He's afraid that doctor might be right and might have some very dangerous disease in my body. I might be carrying something very dangerous. On the other hand, he has hope also that I hope, you know, there is nothing and this is just a fear of the doctor. So every field of our life, we carry some hope and some fear. And this hope and fear together make us do whatever we have to do. If we will miss one of these two, we will never get to those points and we will never achieve the goals. A person who's taking an exam, same thing. He's afraid that he might fail. At the same time, he has studied and he has a lot of hope that he will pass. He will make it. So all of these mixed feelings are there all the time. And these mixed feelings are the ones that are making us do everything and try our best to achieve it. And at the same time, protect ourselves from everything that will hurt us from getting there, because there is fear also that I may not make it. So let me take all the precautions at the same time and do my best to achieve it. This is exactly what is required in our iman, that do my best to achieve the Jannah. And really, Jannah is only a sign of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To achieve the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at the same time there is a great fear that I might do something that will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I want to use every precaution. I don't use anything, I don't do anything that will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then God forbid He will throw me into the hellfire. So with this mixed feeling that is required, here we are going to go through some ahadith first that will create the feeling of the fear in our hearts, in our minds. And then inshallah we'll go through some ahadith that are about creating the hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, يُؤْتَى بِجَهَنَّمَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَوْمَ إِذٍ لَهَا سَبْعُونَ أَلْفَ زِمَامٍ مَعَ كُلِّ زِمَامٍ سَبْعُونَ أَلْفَ مَلَكٍ يَجُرُّونَهَا. On the Day of Judgment, all the human beings will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يَعْرِقُ النَّاسِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يَذْهَبَ عَرَقُهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ سَبْعِينَ زِرَاعًا. People will be sweating so badly that their sweat will be getting into the earth. And finally, حَتَّى يَغِيبُ أَحَدُهُمْ فِي رَشْحِهِ إِلَىٰ أَنصَافِ أُذُنَيْهِ. They will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the fear of the judgment, this is not because of our sins that we are, and is not after the judgment, after the decision is made that this person is going to hellfire. This is even the people who are going to Jannah, as they will be standing and waiting for the judgment to stand. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they will be sweating so badly, يَغِيبُ أَحَدُهُمْ فِي رَشْحِهِ إِلَىٰ أَنصَافِ أُذُنَيْهِ, that a person will be in his sweat, standing in his sweat up to his ears. The sweat will be getting up to his ears because he's sweating so bad. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they will be standing before the judgment will stand. They will be standing there before Rabbul Alameen, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for 300 years. 300 years. They are just waiting for the judgment to stand. And then, as they are standing over there, all the people are standing there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the angels to bring the hellfire up front. As the hellfire will be brought, people will see the hellfire is being brought in such a way. لَهَا سَبْعُونَ أَلْفَ زِمَامٍ. There will be 70,000 chains to the hellfire. The angels will be holding 70,000 chains. And at each chain of that hellfire, there are 70,000 angels holding each chain. 70,000 angels holding each chain of the hellfire, and there are 70,000 chains there, and all of these angels are pulling the hellfire, bringing up front of the human beings, in front of the human beings. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then says, people will look, فَيَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ يَمِينِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now will start talking to the people. These people, They will look towards the right hand side. فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمْ. He would see nothing except his deeds. وَيَنْظُرُ أَشْأَمَ مِنْ فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمْ. Will look towards the left hand side. Will only see the deeds. There is nothing other than deeds around him. وَيَنْظُرُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا النَّارَ تِلْقَاءَ وَجْهِ. He will see a hat in front of him, and all he will see in front of him will be the hellfire. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam therefore says, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةٍ. Protect yourself against the hellfire, even if it is by spending half a date. Even if it is by spending half a date. Remember, on the Day of Judgment, we all will hope, each and every one of us, without any exception, all of us will be hoping, if I get a chance to just say one subhanallah that can be added in my record. I wish I can get a chance to say Allah, just a second. Just a second. Ya Allah, give me a second. I say Allah once, that can be added in my record. We hope if we can say Alhamdulillah, that can be added in our record. Just one of these things. We will be hoping, and of course that will be a big hope to have at that time, to have a chance to perform 2 rak'ah salah, that can be added into our record. We can recite a short ayah of Quran al-Kareem that can be added to our record. We can spend one penny, a penny, if we get a chance, that can be added into our record. Each and every one of us, without any exception, all of us will be hoping if we get these chances on that day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran al-Kareem, when the angels of death will be taking the soul out, people will be saying, رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي كُنَّا نَعْمَلْ. Ya Allah, send us back so that we can do some good deeds. Different than what we were doing before. Now we will do, really we will do some good deeds. The reply will be, أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ. Didn't we give you enough life? مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرُ. That if you wanted to do something good, you had enough chance at that time. وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. There were a lot of reminders also. And there are really a lot of reminders. Imagine with all of these reminders, yet we are so hesitant to do a good deed. A penny that's in our pocket, many times we will throw it in our home, give it to the children to play with, and we know it's going to go to the garbage. If we are walking out of the masjid and we put our hands in our pockets to get the keys out, and a penny comes out, a dime comes out, a quarter comes out, most of the time we may not even remember, let's put it in the donation box. And sometime when we remember, we say, I might need it for parking. There are many meters, parking meters over there. I will put it there. I will use it there. I need some change. Normally, sometime I need some change and I don't have it when I need it. And you go back home. The child says, Dad, can you please give me a quarter, and give him all the quarters and every penny that's in our pocket. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارِ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةٍ. Protect yourself against the hellfire, even if it is by spending half a date. Today we think what a half a date is going to do for us. That day we'll hope, if we really can give, if we get a chance to spend half a date and can be added into our record, I would do it. But it will be too late. This is the time for us to do whatever we can. And each and everything that we perform in our life will be in our records over that time, at that time, on that day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Quran al-Kareem, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتُ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. When the time of death comes, people say, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. Ya Allah, please send me back, give me some more chance. لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِيمَا تَرَكْ. So I can do some good deeds in the wealth that I have left behind me. أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِيمَا تَرَكْ. I would do some good deeds in this wealth that I have left behind me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kalla, he will never get that chance anymore. إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. This will be just a word that he can say if he wants. وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Now he will go into the barzakh, which is the time period between this life and the day of judgment. Between the death and the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Quran al-Kareem, in Surah al-Mutaffifin, أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When human beings are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are wasting their time in their worldly life, and normally most of the times, we are just thinking about our wealth. I want to pick up this sofa from here, put it over there. This couch, I would like to change the position of it. This freezer, I would like to put it in another place. We would like to clean it. We would like to bring a better one. Just thinking and planning and spending so much time, half of our life might be spent just in planning of our worldly gain and worldly things, materials. Not talking about earning them, bringing them, buying them. It's only just thinking about them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ. Don't they think that one day they will be presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will have to come out of their graves and stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what type of day that will be? لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. That will be a great day. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. A day when all the human beings will have to stand before رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ, before the Lord of the universe. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يَجْعَلُ الْوِلْدَانَ شِيبًا. A day that will make the young people, because of the hardship of the day, young people will look like an old man. يَجْعَلُ الْوِلْدَانَ شِيبًا. The children will become old on that day because of the hardships of the day. And if we all know, and I'm sure we all know it, and we believe that we have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that day, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Quran al-Kareem, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Whoever believes that he will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Then that person should do some good deeds in this life. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. And should never associate any partner in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our ibadah, how many times when we are performing the ibadah, we have so many other benefits for the ibadah, that people are watching. People will think that I'm a great person. Even when we perform Salat al-Tahajjud, make some dua in the darkness of the night, throughout the day we hope, if there is a way people can find out that I was doing Tahajjud last night, the whole night I was awake and I was doing some ibadah. Not only this, many times in our ibadah, we keep other benefits in our mind. People like to learn what are the exercises in salah. What is the benefit that health-wise our benefit in doing the salah. And now in the salah, the person is trying to perform the salah in a way that he can get his muscles out, he can get his strength, and he can show his strength in the salah. This is a way of exercise. All of these benefits are meaningless if the real ibadah is not there, and if we cannot concentrate in our salah, we are not able just to perform the ibadah in a very simple method. We all know how to perform the salah, and yet we are not able to concentrate in our salah. We are not able to perform the salah properly the way we just know it, and we would like to add all the other benefits and keep all of those things in mind, and still we think, now I can concentrate after adding 100 more things. we have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Throughout the day we don't remember Him. That's the only time we remember Him, sometime in our salah, when we are doing some ibadah, reciting some Quran. And even if at that time we are keeping the whole world in our mind, and we are planning for every worldly thing at that time, then where is the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And what are the times of our life that we are spending for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is there any other time then that we can say that it was really for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sometime I think and I wonder that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment will tell us that bring me one short surah of Quran al-Kareem, one short surah of Quran al-Kareem, that you have learned it, understood the meaning of it, and you practiced it in your life, so I can send you to Jannah. Is there any one surah that we can say, Ya Allah, this surah, I practiced this surah throughout my life. I never went against this surah, Ya Allah. Not even one. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. Or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us. يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ People will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will be sweating bad. And they will see the hellfire in front of them. فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةٍ Protect yourself against the hellfire, even if it is by spending half a date. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمْ لَضَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا وَلَبَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا If you people would know what I know, you people will not laugh as much. You will be crying most of the day. You will be crying most of the time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another hadith, if animals will find out the hardship that human beings will have to go through on the day of judgment, if animals will know what hardships people will be going through on the day of judgment, you won't be able to get any meat from any of the animals. You will see only bones. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمْ لَضَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا وَلَبَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا If you people would know what I know, you people will not laugh so much, you will be crying more, and you will never go to your bed at night time. All of you together will be crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save you against the hellfire. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, Anas radiyallahu anhu says, فَمَا أَتَى عَلَىٰ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَوْمٌ أَشَدُّ مِنْهِ That was the most difficult day for Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in. غَطُّوا رَأْسَهُمْ وَلَهُمْ خَنِينَ They all put their head down and they were crying, and all the whole masjid, everyone in the masjid was crying out loud because of this hadith that they heard it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ أَهْوَنَ أَهْلِ النَّارِ عَذَابًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ The person who will have the least punishment on the day of judgment. This is the least. لَرَجُلٌ يُوضَعُ فِي أَخْمَصِ قَدَمَيْهِ جَمْرَتَانِ Will be a person who will have two flames of fire under his feet. Two flames of fire under his feet. But يَغْلِي مِنْهَا دِمَاغُهُ His brain will be boiling because of this, and will boil so much that the brain will be spilling off his head because of the heat of those two flames of fire that are under his feet. مَا يَرَى أَنَّ أَحَدًا أَشَدُّ مِنْهُ عَذَابًا He will think that he has the worst punishment, whereas وَإِنَّهُ لَأَهْوَنُهُمْ عَذَابًا He has the least punishment. And if we look at the ayah of Quran al-Kareem, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَيُسْقَى مِن مَاءٍ صَدِيدٍ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مُقَرَّ وَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُقَرَّنِينَ فِي الْأَصْفَادِ Just imagine, if we are, God forbid, we are put in that position. وَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ You will see the sinners on that day. And we all carry these sins. How many sins we are doing day and night? How many times we have the opportunity to do some good deed, and we turn away from that opportunity. This is also something that we, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can question us about it and will question us about it. That if you had the opportunity, if you had the chance to do that ibadah, to remember my name, why did you waste that time and did not use it for the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because basically we are created for the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for. وَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُقَرَّنِينَ فِي الْأَصْفَادِ. You will see the sinners, all of them, they will be chained on that day. And Allah will throw them in one of the corners. سَرَابِينُهُم مِّن قَطِرَانِ وَتَغْشَى وُجُوهَهُمُ النَّارِ. Those people will be chained totally and they will be thrown in the hellfire, and the hellfire will burn in their faces. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayah, وَيُسْقَى مِن مَّاءٍ صَدِيدٍ. As these people will be thrown in the hellfire, they will ask for water. They will be crying for water. Imagine, this is one of the worst things that a person can go through. If a person is going through some hardships, and in addition to that hardship, he's so thirsty that he cannot continue with his work. He cannot do anything. He needs at least a drop of water. And Rasulullah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, people will be crying, will be shouting for a drop of water. And those people, as they will be crying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيُسْقَى مِن مَّاءٍ صَدِيدٍ. They will be given something to drink, but it will be only pus from the people of the hellfire. That's all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I can offer them in the hellfire to drink. And that will be something that they will be getting that pus of the hellfire to drink it, as these people will get that pus from the people of the hellfire. يَتَجَرَّعُهُ. He will try to put it in his mouth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, it will be so hot that as soon as he will bring the pot close to his face, because of the heat of it, the skin of the whole head will fall off of his head because of the heat of that pot. And still this person is so thirsty. Imagine how thirsty this person will be. That still the person is so thirsty that even though it's so hot, he will try to drink it. He will say, at least let me get a drop in my mouth. So he will try, he will put that in his mouth. يَتَجَرَّعُهُ. He will try to swallow that. وَلَا يَكَادُ يُسِيغُهُ. And he will not be able to swallow it. But still he will force himself. He will drop some drops into his mouth. وَيَأْتِيهِ الْمَوْتُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. He will feel that the death is surrounding me from everywhere, and I'm about to die. وَمَا هُوَ بِمَيِّتٍ. But he will never die. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that as this person will drink it, everything will come out of his stomach from his back, and that person will be pulling all of his intestines and everything, and he will be running around, and people will be stepping on that or those intestines, and will be telling this person that, how come you are shouting so much? You disturb all of us. And each person will be going through the same situation. Whenever he feels like drinking something, he will get that pus to drink, and that's all. This is the same thing will happen to each and every person over there. What are we buying the hellfire for? What are we giving away to get that, all of that punishment? Normally we try to run away from these type of hadith also. Let's look at the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us these hadith also. He taught the hadith, the sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, this part of our life and this fact also that we will all be facing on the Day of Judgment. And this is a reality that everyone has to face. This is something that everyone will have to see there. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah is there for us, inshaAllah, we will be protected. Otherwise, the reality is there. If we run away from hearing these type of hadith and reading these type of hadith, still the fact remains. And hundreds of ayahs of the Quran al-Kareem . If we go through these ayahs and we don't have the time to go through the ayahs of the Quran al-Kareem that are about Jahannam and about the hardships of Jahannam, but it reminds me of the hadith that once Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam was crying and crying and crying. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jibreel, why are you crying? And it looks like Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam could not stop crying in the heavens. He could not stop his cry in the heavens, and he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When a child is disturbed and cries and doesn't know what to do, the child will run to his parents. Because the child knows the parents will do something for him. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said before, in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was crying. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Jibreel, why are you crying? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I have seen the hellfire. I have seen the deeds of the people. When I look at the deeds of the people, all these deeds are leading them to hellfire. Ya Rasulullah, I can't stop crying when I see this. That the deeds of the people are taking them to hellfire. I know what type of deeds take the people towards the hellfire. And I see all of these deeds are full in the records of the people. Ya Rasulullah, I don't know what to say. When I see all of these deeds, I'm afraid Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell me on the day of judgment, Jibreel, you also go to hellfire because all of these people have committed sins. And all of your messages that you revealed did not help you go to hellfire too. There is nothing that I can do. I will be thrown into hellfire too. Hearing this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also started crying. And both of them were crying. And they cried so much that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beard was soaked in his tears. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, sent the revelation saying that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you and Jibreel, I have guaranteed both of you that you people will not see the hellfire, will not go through the hellfire. One of the scholars was crying. Someone asked him, he said, why are you crying? You have been obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have devoted your life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of His deen. You have no reason to cry. He said, when I look at the ayah of Quran al-Kareem, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِمْ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا, every person will have to go through the hellfire. And this is in Quran, that all the people will have to go through the hellfire because the bridge of Sirat is on top of the hellfire. The bridge of Sirat is on top of the hellfire. And as people will be passing, will be going to the Jannah, they have to cross the bridge of Sirat. And as they are going through that bridge, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَعَلَىٰ جَانِبِ الصِّرَاطِ كَلَالِيدِ, on the both sides of this bridge, which is very thin bridge, on both sides of this bridge, there are hooks. There are hooks. These hooks will try to get, to pull the person down. These hooks are coming from the hellfire. Because under the bridge is the hellfire. These hooks are coming from the hellfire and they will try to pull the person. Where do these hooks come from? These are the hooks of our sins. Each and every sin that we commit in our life is a hook on the bridge of Sirat. The more sins we commit, the more hooks will be there. The worse sins we commit, the bigger hooks will be there. Every major sin will be a big hook over there. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, some people will be just scratched by those hooks because the sins are too small. They will just get scratches. But some people will have big hooks that will pull them down into the hellfire, and they will not be able to cross the bridge. They will go into the hellfire. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Aisha radiallahu anha, "Ya Aisha, you are my wife." And he knows that she's doing all sorts of good deeds. But he says to Aisha radiallahu anha, "Ya Aisha, iyyaki wa muhaqqarati al-dhunub." Aisha, refrain from all type of small sins. Small sins. Because normally people don't pay any attention to the small ones. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّ لَهَا مِنَ اللَّهِ طَالِبًا. Aisha, just keep in mind, Allah will question you about the minor sins also. He's not going to question you only about the major ones. He will question you about the minor ones also. And of course, that day, all we will have our deeds with us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, لا تزول قدم عبد يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن أربع. No one will be able to move from his place on the day of judgment before answering four questions. All of us, we have to go through that exam, and subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is already telling us the questions that will be asked in that exam, in that test. What are these questions? Four questions. All of us will be questioned and will be asked. Number one, عَنْ عُمْرِهِ فِيمَا أَفْنَى. About our whole life, where did we spend the life? What did we do in our life? What type of life did we spend? Did we follow the deen of Allah? Did we follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or we were doing something different in our life? وَعَنْ عِلْمِهِ فِي مَا عَمِلَ فِيهِ. Number two, about our knowledge. What did we do with this knowledge? Did we practice? Or we did not practice the knowledge? Did we teach those who wanted to learn? Or we just reserved the knowledge to ourselves? عَنْ عِلْمِهِ مَاذَا عَمِلَ فِيهِ وَعَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَهِ. And all of us will be questioned about our wealth. Each and every penny that we have earned in our life will be questioned. Where did you get it from? Look at this wealth. What a hardship that it brings. Even if there was no other hardship than this one, that we will be questioned about each and every penny that we possess in our life. We will be questioned about it on the Day of Judgment. مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَ. Where did you get that one from? La ilaha illallah. When we read these type of hadith, it seems that it's better to give up everything. And the person stays away from all the worldly gains and everything of this life. And just spends his life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although this is not required. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith, before the Day of Judgment there will be a time that when you advise someone, that person will not be willing to accept the advice. When you prevent them from doing any evils, they will not stop doing the evil. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that will be the time that the best person will be who takes his goats, his sheep, his cattle, and go out in the jungle and just spends his life over there in the jungle, staying away from all, from everyone and from the whole worldly gain and everything there. And just spends his time by himself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although this is not the best choice, but at the same time we got to remember, we have involved ourselves so much in the worldly gain, in this worldly and material life, that it looks like now it's impossible for us to live in this world without you making thousands and thousands of dollars every year and spending those thousands of dollars. If we look at ourselves and really try to calculate how many thousands of dollars we spend each year on ourselves and our families. How many extras we have in our life. We go to our homes. All of us are in the same boat. We look into our homes. Houses are, mashallah, so big. And yet, there is no space to keep our things, our stuff over there. Closets are full. Bags are full. Basement is full. Every floor is full. There is no space to keep anything in our homes. And yet, each of us feel that I need a bigger place and I need more space to keep more items because I need more items. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, most of the time in his life, he had only two pairs of clothes. Two pairs of clothes. Keeping a third one, he thought, is too much. I'm not saying we should keep two. But at least, if we look at these extras, then these extras should tell us that we need some extras on the other side also in our ibadahs. If my closet is full of clothes that I feel I will need them whenever sometimes I need them, then why doesn't that remind me that I will need some extra rak'ahs also on the Day of Judgment? Why doesn't that remind me that I need some extra tasbihah, some extra Qur'an on the Day of Judgment also? Extras only on this side and no extra on the other side? Subhanallah. That simply means we are not keeping that day in our mind. And we are really not afraid of that day. We are afraid of tomorrow. That I don't know what clothes I will be putting on tomorrow. This is why the suitcase is full. The closet is full. But I'm not afraid of the Day of Judgment and standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why the good deeds are empty. The record of the good deeds is empty and there I don't see good deeds there. The extras are not getting over there. Subhanallah. Our lifestyle have totally changed. One of the tabi'een says, we have seen Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in in that time. They used to spend their whole day in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and spare some time of the day that they can go and earn something to make their living. And it says now the situation has changed so much that people spend their whole day in earning their wealth and they try to spare little time to do some ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Totally opposite. They were spending the whole day for the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and spare some time for earning. As it is said about Ali radiallahu anhu, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once asked for some donations, he went home and he asked, Fatima, do you have anything at home so I can go and give it out as a donation? Sadaqah? Fatima radiallahu anhu said, no, we don't have nothing even to feed our children. Hassan and Hussein are crying. They need some food, something to eat. Ali radiallahu anhu went out. He saw a Jew who was working in his garden, in his farm. He said to that Jew, is there anything that I can do for you and get some dates from you? He said, yes. If you pull some water out of the well for me and water the land here, I will give you one date for each bucket that you will pull out. Ali radiallahu anhu worked there. He pulled out seven buckets. Seven buckets, got seven dates. He went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, this is sadaqah. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reminding us in these hadiths. So four things Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said we will be asked on the Day of Judgment. The whole life, knowledge, وَعَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَهُ وَفِيمَ أَنْفَقَهُ, and about the wealth, where did you get the wealth from and where did you spend the wealth? And number four, وَعَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِيمَ أَبْلَاهُ, special question about youth. Where did you spend your youth? Because you had the energy, you had the power, you had the strength. Where did you use all of this energy and power and this strength for? Earning your degrees, making the future of my life, making sure that I will earn a lot once I get into my 40s. This is where I'm spending all of my age for. Where did you spend your youth? The time when we have the energy, the power and the strength. That was the main time of the life. What did you earn at that time of your life? Did you work for dunya or you work for deen? This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ تَحْتَ ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. There are 7 type of people who will be under the shadow on the day of judgment, the day when the sun will be only a fist away from people's head. And 2 people, I don't want to go into the detail of the hadith, but at least we will talk about 2 type of people. One, شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ. A young person who grew up doing the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His youth, his childhood and youth was spent in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. شَابٌ نَشْأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ. A young person who grew up doing the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And other type of person, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, هُوَ رَجُلٌ. A person who was by himself and he cried with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A tear came out of his eyes with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the fear that we need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is one more hadith. I must narrate this hadith also before ending the subject. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Man khafa adlaj. He says this is the rule. Whoever is afraid of his enemies, he will try to escape from his enemies in the darkness of the night. وَمَنْ أَدْلَجَ بَلَغَ الْمَنْزِلِ. Whoever will escape in the darkness of the night, he has a great hope that he will get to his destination. He will be able to escape. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then tells us, that if you are afraid of the day of judgment, afraid of the hellfire, then use the dark parts of the night. Adlaj. Use the dark parts of the night, because most probably if you use these dark parts of the night for the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will get to the destination. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ala inna sil'ata Allahi ghaliyah. Remember, the merchandise that you are getting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not cheap. Ghaliya is very expensive. Ala inna sil'at Allahi al-jannah. The merchandise that we are trying to buy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is jannah. And for jannah, we have to work a lot to get to jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us the jannah and protect all of us against the hellfire. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.